Rosh Hashanah, Perek Gimel, Mishneh Hey, 3-5 in the last of the three Mishnayos, talking about blowing of instruments under various scenarios in the Beis HaMikdash. Now we're talking about the blowing on the 10th of Tishrei in the Yovel year. The Pasuk says, V'havarta shofar trua b'chodesh ha-shvi b'asar l'chodesh b'yom ha-kippurim ta'aviro shofar b'chol artzechem, which means you blow the shofar, a trua blasting, on the 7th month, on the 10th of the month, 7th month being Tishrei, 10th month and then being like Yom Kippur, Yom Kippurim, the shofar will pass throughout your land. So that means that it starts out by the shofar being blown in the Beis HaMikdash, as we'll describe here, and then after that, every individual Jew blows a shofar as well throughout the country. So the point of this blowing of the shofar on the 10th of Tishrei, on the Jubilee year, is a twofold. The first is really, as the pasuk says, likro dror, to declare freedom, and that's the freedom for avadim and eved ivri, all the avadim ivrim, all the Jewish servants that were committed into servitude. They all go free on the Yovel on this day, and also any land that had been sold prior to Yovel now reverts back to its original owners. Okay, this, by the way, this mitzvah of blowing on Yovel, you never heard of it before. The reason why is because it's been no longer in effect since a long time ago. The mitzvah of Yovel requires the Jews to be back on their lands, everyone there, and really since Bais Rishon time, since, you know, Reuven and the tribes of Reuven and Gad and half of Sheva Menashe were exiled from their lands on the Transjordan, already there's no more Yovel. So we wait for Mashiach to come back before Yovel coming back into effect, or at least so the Jews can return to land if that happens before Mashiach's coming. So the Mishnah here says, and this is the same Tana as the previous two Mishnayos, Shava HaYovel Rosh Hashanah. What one does on the Yovel year is Shaveh, it's equal to what one does in Rosh Hashanah. Letekia V'Lebrachos, both in terms of Tekia and in terms of Brachos. In Tekia, we could be referring to the instrument used, so just as this Tana had held, that the Ye'el, the Ibex horn, is the horn of choice when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, so too, when one blows on the Yovel year, it's the Ibex horn, the Ye'el, that should be used. Now, the second pshat, an additional pshat, is when we talk about Tekia, we're talking about the amount of Tekios, the number of blasts that must be blown. And later on in the Masechta, we'll discuss how things play out today. We have lots of blasting going on in the shul on Rosh Hashanah, I know. But essentially, you need three blasts of three, or three sets of three blasts, maybe better saying it. Each set comprises a trua, which is preceded and succeeded before and after, with a tekia. The tekia is a single long blast. The trua is the broken blast. So you have tekia, trua, tekia, that's set one. Again, tekia, trua, tekia, that's set two. And then finally, tekia, trua, tekia, set three, and you're done. So it's a total of nine blasts, three times three. Just super briefly, but I'm going to go back to it later on, another Mishnah, Bez Hashem, is since there's a doubt over what constitutes a tekia, what constitutes a trua, the broken blast, whether it's, I'll call it the three or the nine or the three and nine together. So therefore, you end up, at a minimum, in Shul and Rosh Hashanah, blowing all the possibilities. So you have three sets of three of the trua being three, and three sets of three of the trua being nine. Again, we call them trua and tekia. We call them trua and shivarim. But they're both what the question is, what constitutes tekia. And then, so that's two sets of nine, if you will. Then there's a third set, which is where we blow both the three and the nine blasts together, both what we call a tekia and a shivarim together. A trua and a shivarim together, I'm sorry. And that being the case, that was a three sets of, not three, but three sets of four, because it's preceded by tekia, ends with the tekia, and then you have both a trua and a shvarim in the middle. So that's a total of three times four is 12. 12 plus the other two sets of nine, 18 gives a total of 30. So 30 blasts are really the minimum to get all the possibilities in. Okay, but in any case, that same story, whatever we said about Rosh Hashanah, however it applies, will also apply to what blowing is going on in the Yovel year. That's what it means here, second shot in, what it means that they're shava and tekiah. And also v'lebrachos, also in the brachos that are said, This is a reference to in Rosh Hashanah, part of the tefillah, we have an unusual Shemoneh Esrei that has 9 different brachos, blessings in it. The usual 3 beginning and 3 ending, like every Shemoneh Esrei, but here you have 3 in the middle. Those 3 in the middle referred to as Malchuyos, Sochronos, and Shofros. So you have those same 3 in the middle, another, you know, for a total of 9, that we pray on the Yom Kippur of the Yovel year. Fine. So that's what it means, Lebrachos. Now, the reason why they're Shaved, they're the same on the Yovel year as well as every Rosh Hashanah, is based on a Gezeira Shava. Gezeira Shava means that there's a linguistic connection that alludes to the connection between 2 different areas. The Gezeira Shava is from the term Bechodesh Hashvi'i, the 7th month, which applies in both of these passages. You can't just make up a Gezeira Shava, you need to have a tradition for it, but our Tanna hold, there is a tradition for Gezeira Shava, connecting it to and teaching you that the rules that apply to the shofar blowing on Rosh Hashanah are the same as the rules that apply on the Yovel year. Now, Rebbe Yehuda, the Mishnah continues on, Omer, he disagrees. He says, Barosh Hashanah token b'shel zacharim. He says, no, the proper animal to be the source for your shofar on Rosh Hashanah should be a zacharim, should be a ram horn, not a yael, not an ibex horn. The reason why is because the ram's horn is, as we said, kafuf, it's bent over, and he says that is the proper mode and posture one should take when he approaches Rosh Hashanah, being submissive, in submission, and so that's Rosh Hashanah, and he says, over Yovel b'shel ye'elim, he says, Rabbi Yehuda says, for the Yovel, you do use the Ye'el horn, the ibex horn, because he doesn't have a tradition of the Gezeira Shava. Since there's no Gezeira Shava, there's no reason to connect Rosh Hashanah to Yovel year. And he says in the Yovel year, there's no issue of submission. To the contrary, when you're blowing to release the slaves, so the slaves should hold their heads up high in freedom. You're being Kored Dror. And that being the case, so the appropriate symbolic horn to use would be the horn of a Yael, a long straight horn. So Rabbi Yehuda disagrees on both points. Now, the Halacha L'maaseh is not actually like either of these 2 shitas. There's a third shita brought in the Gemara. That's the shita of Rabbi Levi. And Levi holds that the proper, like Rabbi Yehuda, that the proper shofar for Rosh Hashanah should be the ram's horn. You have the submissive nature and posture when approaches the day, symbolized by the bent over kfifa of the ram's horn. In addition, of course, the ram's horn recalls the merit of Akedas Yitzchak, the extraordinary story there of the binding of Yitzchak, and Avraham's supplanting that offering, would-be offering, with a ram who was trapped by its horns. So that's included there. As far as the Yovel year, so Levi does hold that there is a Gezeira Shava, and therefore he says, on the Yovel year, just like Rosh Hashanah, one should be using the ram's horn as well. And that's how the lach is going to be. So if you're keeping track now, since Levi said you use the ram's horn in Rosh Hashanah, use the ram's horn on the Yovel, and the Mishnah already said without any dispute that on the Taneis, on the fast days, you also use a ram's horn. It comes out, halach l'maisa, we're using ram's horns l'charchila for all these things, for our shofar. But the Shulchan Aruch certainly paskens that b'di'eved, you can use anything called the shofar from a kosher animal that has its, you know, this, as we described before, keratin sheath, the tube horn, etc., with the exception of the bovine animals, the cows, because a bull's horn is unacceptable. It's called a Karen, and Ein Kategor Nasa Senegor, you can't use something that suggests or implies or recalls some sort of accusation if you're using that to defend yourself on the Yom HaDin.